Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, halfway through almost the month of November.
Yeah. Kind of a short month because you got those holidays starting to creep up on us, and Monday was Veterans Day, and so you have a big Thanksgiving planned. What are you doing?
No, we're having an early Thanksgiving, and we're going to duplicate a Thanksgiving we had last year. Exact copy, but we had it in London.
And what does that mean?
Well, it's just the same. Well, what it means is I brought some wine over from England. I'm going to drink again.
Ah, you're going to get sloshed again. Very nice.
I never got sloshed in the first time. I'm not a slosher. Too old.
Yeah. It's hard to wait. It's not the problem of getting sloshed. It's the after effects.
Yeah. It's no good. It's great if you're a teenager. Well, you're not supposed to drink when you're a teenager. But it's okay in your 20s.
Yeah. We got a really great picture. Pablo. Oh, is it Pablo? Yeah, Pablo in the chat room put on his DH Unplugged t-shirt. And sent in a picture of that for everyone to see. And quite a good-looking fellow. Very handsome. He's got this great big fat mustache. And really looking good there, Pablo. Congratulations.
Where is this picture? Did you send it along?
It's in the chat room. I can probably... Pablo, send that over to dhemail@gmail.com. Send that on over. There you go. Let's go here and let's see, talk about some of the things that are going on. Lots happening here on the markets, of course. Before I do that, I'd like to mention a few things. You can follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter, @TheRealDvorak. Myself, Andrew Horowitz, and it's one word, Andrew Horowitz. You can follow me there. And of course, if you're inclined throughout the show to donate, plenty of opportunities to do that. So just go over to DH Unplugged and start plugging away. So, have you been watching this fun-filled market mayhem?
It's just crazy.
Yeah. So, we had a good week last week. Things were up 2% or so. Small caps were flat for the week. But the NASDAQ, the S&P 500 were up about 2%. That was after a bounce after that horrendous few weeks that we saw going into the end of October. And then we start out this week. It's like, okay, let's see how things go. And Monday hit. It was like, it just started going down and just never stopped. And at one point, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 500 points, and it finished down 600 points. Now, some people say, oh.
Noteworthy.
Yeah, people like, oh, you know, it's so much higher, and 600 points doesn't matter as much. And 600 points is a lot.
Yeah, but they have a point.
Yeah, in the scheme of things, it was down 2% on the day. And a lot of that had to do with a couple of stocks in particular. One of them was Goldman Sachs that got absolutely ripped. They got some weird thing that they possibly are involved in that IMDb deal in Malaysia where the government was fleeced out of all sorts of money.
And yes, doesn't look good for them.
No, not at all. And then, you know, then there was some news that Lloyd Blankfein may have been at a couple of the meetings, and that was like, uh-oh, that means it's real. And then possibly that would confirm that Goldman was really involved, you know, that they really did have. So they weren't just there kind of visiting Malaysia for the weekend. They were actually involved in some of this. So now the Dow Jones Industrial Average as of today is down 700 points for the week, 1,600 points from the recent high.
Right.
So that's pretty significant.
It seems it's noteworthy.
Yep. NASDAQ was down 2.9% Monday. That's also when Apple came out with, there was some downgrades of Apple, which we'll talk about, as well as some really hellacious numbers on, from some of the companies that were supplying parts to Apple. It said that, they got a note from a big supplier, their biggest supplier, no name, that they're cutting cut down, particularly one company, LITE is the symbol. And they said that the particular laser device that they supply for facial recognition, the order was cut significantly. So therefore, all of the Apple suppliers just fell off a cliff, and Apple
It cut significantly because the products aren't selling well, or is it cut significantly because they were bumped for in favor of another vendor?
It's not quite known, but the thought was, and that came through, was that it was because sales were down, or that they don't need any more. They're just, okay, we're done for this particular sequence. Or then you could speculate and say, well, maybe they're going to retinal recognition or breath recognition or something.
That's breath. Now you're talking.
Just breathe on the phone. You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. My wife, when she says, "Hey Siri," she talks into the glass. She puts the phone up to her face and talks into the glass like Siri is the front of the iPhone versus the microphone on the bottom. And she's just talking. She got the, "Hey Siri, what's the weather outside?" And then she thinks that Siri's like right there. Kind of funny.
That is funny. I thought probably not unusual.
No, not at all. I've seen it 100 times. Yeah, somebody was saying that maybe we have a lick the phone recognition.
Maybe that would work.
Yeah, some kind of an enzyme secretion from the tongue, or some kind of a DNA sequencing.
Yeah.
One of the reasons that markets also have been rather concerned about what's going on is that PPI, the producer price index, or the wholesale inflation, the number of the price of the input into the manufacturing process hit a pretty significant number. It was up 0.6% month over month on the core number, and expectations were for it to be 0.2. That's a lot.
Yeah, but these are sub 1% numbers.
This is month over month. Go 1%, you get 12% a year.
Oh,
I mean, it's not Venezuela.
Yeah, well, 12% a year would be something I think would be that'd be one point would be 12%. No, I guess you have to compound it.
Yeah, it would be even worse. It'd be like 13. Yeah. But if you go, and by the way, when I say these things, when I just shout out as 13, I got a couple of, I don't know if I ever told you this, but there's a couple of listeners.
Yeah, they got a calculator right in front of them.
They will email me.
And you made that calculation wrong.
They will.
You said 038. We calculated to 013. You should have known better.
Right. How could you be spreading false and fake information on the podcast that we respect so much? But there's one guy who I dubbed to be the official fact checker because he comes out with so much information. This guy named John.
And everybody needs a fact checker.
Oh, fact checks. Oh, he does.
Good.
Yep. But PPI came out pretty hot. Now the concern is what's going to happen with the CPI number, the consumer inflation, which is out tomorrow morning. So if that moves
up. What's everybody thinking?
Everybody's thinking that, oh my God, they're in a tizzy. They're, oh my God, if the PPI came out hot, then that is going to have to be passed down to the consumer because companies can't hold on to those numbers and they just usually pass that on. And if they do so, then, they go through this whole sequence. What happens is the Fed's going to see inflation pick up and therefore they're going to start increasing rates even faster or keep at least where they are. Wage growth we've seen higher, so that's another checkbox. We've seen the jobs numbers at 3.7%. That's a checkbox. The weekly numbers on jobs are like in the 210 range, checkbox. Uh-oh, Fed's going to continue raising.
Makes sense.
So it's the whole idea of what happens with markets is the whole idea of where fear comes in. Fear is false events appearing real. That's my acronym for it. I don't know if I ever told you that. It's my acronym. False events appearing real. So what happens is you start out with something like, oh, my hair doesn't look good. What's going to happen? Well, people are going to laugh at me. Well, then I'm going to go into a deep depression. I'm going to start eating till I'm 600 pounds. I won't be able to get out of the house. No one will like me. I'll have no friends. I'm going to get sick and diabetes, and eventually I'm going to die. Everything ends in the death.
Well, yeah.
So the same thing when it comes to this right now. That's what everybody seems to be going with all these numbers that are related to how the Fed is going to react, and it's going to end in death or a market crash.
Crash, big crash.
Yeah.
So that overdue crash. That doesn't help.
Do we have to have a crash? Can't we just have a slow, methodical drop down?
Wouldn't that be great?
Just a slow movement on the way down.
Yeah, well.
It's, everybody expects the crash. So you got to admit, it's probably not going to happen.
No, usually the crash happens when they're not expecting it.
Yeah.
So everybody's thinking, we could have another upturn.
Could be.
And looking at all my shorts from our game, the upturn is beginning.
Yeah, it could be. So a couple of things about what's happening with markets recently. The Fed, you know, it doesn't look like I said, they're going to give up on their several more rate hikes. Trump is not willing to give up on China tariffs. Jeff Sessions is gone. There's a whole shakeup we'll talk about in a minute about what's going on. Dems are taking back the House. And there was concern about the markets getting fragile when that happens. We got tough earnings comps ahead because we have these great earnings that we've seen because of the tax breaks that were given last year. And now there's a big concern that, you know, all of a sudden we're going to see, you know, companies not able
to. The chickens coming home to roost.
Yeah, exactly. Larry Kudlow was on CNBC today. So as soon as markets start to fall over, they march out somebody.
Yeah, Kudlow's a perfect guy.
Kudlow's going to come out because he's going to be really positive. He's going to say, hey, you know what? Like he did. Well, we're in talks with the EU and Japan. Things are going well. Looks like we have, you know, the talks with China are on again, and they're going well. And then he bashed Navarro when he came out. Navarro came out the other day and said, the deal will, any deal with China will not be on Wall Street's terms. Whatever the hell that means. Like, supposedly he was talking about how Wall Street, whether it's hedge funds or institutions or large investors, were trying to negotiate these deals. And he said, you know, if you do that, you're going to be a foreign agent, and then you're going to be an unappointed, unapproved foreign agent, and therefore it's illegal. So once he said all these things, the markets did get a nice lift, especially because talking about the trade talks with China back on was good, and then swooned into the close.
Well, he's got to stay on longer.
Yeah, maybe. You know, that doesn't help enough. Tomorrow, they'll get Jeremy Siegel on there talking about how markets are going to be higher by at least 10% by the end of, you know, the next year. Jeremy Siegel is going to be on
there. Well, they're just taking old tape.
It's all they should do, right? Just replay this stuff. It's what happens. Goldman Sachs definitely got smacked pretty good on, as I mentioned earlier, they're getting their comeuppance. That's the word.
Well, they got a long way to go before they reach those levels down in 2016.
Well, they got pretty, they're down significantly for the year now. They were the worst performing Dow component Monday. This one MDB investment fund set up from Malaysia thing is, you know, circling around. Stock is back at 2016 levels. Here is a chart over on DH Unplugged in the show notes of episode number, what are we on, 431.
Yeah, you don't have any 2016 data on here.
Wow, you'll just have to take my word for it. No, it is. It's 2016's there.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, they're dead. That's way down there.
Well, it was definitely lower. They have to break the 200 barrier first. Crude oil is also sliding. So that, yeah, it was down for the 12th day
in
a row.
I like this chart, though. This chart is fascinating.
Which one? Crude?
Well, the one, your crude oil chart, the weekly continuous contract.
Yep.
The CL.
Yep.
Up, it's kind of up and jaggedy, up, jaggedy, up. Just like working its way up, working its way up. And then it hits this just under 75, which I guess must be some sort of a ceiling, but it couldn't hit it. It couldn't even hit it. Just almost got there. And then straight down to 55.
Yeah, I mean, this is from when? The beginning of October. Just careened lower. 12 days down in a row is a record. It
looks like October 1st was the high.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the dollar has been rising throughout this, and you would say that's bad for crude oil, which, okay, I'll give you that. Inventory numbers have been mixed. There's no question about that. But now we have the OPEC talking about, in the last week, about curtailing production because they said that there is a market is in an imbalance with too much supply out there. So and then Trump comes out and says, oh, no. You're not going to cut production here. We need lower oil prices. Now, he forgets that lower oil prices, while it's deflationary, has an impact on the stock market because a big chunk of the stock market's earnings are tied up in energy-related companies that have oil as a big component. So you're going to hurt the stock market with oil going down. You know, that's like saying we want all men's clothing prices to be lower. Well, that's good, but that's going to hurt the retailers. It's the same thing, you know?
Yeah, I guess it is. I crude oil, there's also apparently, I guess there's some ships out there filled with oil floating around. You know, we had this problem before, if you recall.
Yep.
You know, let's pump the oil into these ships and then park the ship somewhere.
Yeah, they do that because they figure that longer term, there's going to be a higher price that they can capitalize on.
Every time they do that, the price goes down.
Well, because it's too much. There's too much inventory out there, and you know they count that as inventory to a degree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So oil is now below 56. When I first started writing this, it was 59. Then it went to 58, below 57. Now it's below 56. It had its worst day in 3 years today, down 26% from its high, and 12 days in a row of down moves on crude is the longest streak on record.
Huh.
Which leads you to believe that I'm going to be buying oil for the game.
Well, it didn't necessarily lead me to believe it, but I do now.
Yeah, okay. There's no secret there. We're going to get to that in a little while. One of the things that I noticed about markets that I thought I would share, and I think you know this, and it's probably intuitively obvious when you think about it, is that big moves of the market, these kind of swings, these kind of 500 point days or, you know, up or down are not, you know, even if we have 200-300 point days in a row or a couple of point 300 point days in a row, on the upside with the Dow or big moves on the NASDAQ, it is not indicative of what you see in a bull market. In a bull market, there are times you definitely have some outperformance, you know, 1% day here or there. But if you think about the history of what we saw in the last couple of years when the market was just on the rise, it was, you know, people were putting money into play. There wasn't a lot of concern. The VIX was down, you know, towards the 11 or 12.
To nothing, yeah.
I mean, his low is 8 and change. And then it moves every once in a while. You'll get a move down, you know, 0.5%, maybe 1%, and maybe 1% up. But you don't see these 2 and 3% gyrations in a bull market. It just doesn't really happen. These are very indicative of a bear market. I don't mean bear market like 20% down, but I mean bear market like a corrective process.
Yeah, and it could do this. It keeps kind of sliding slowly down, which you hope for, but with big swings.
Yeah.
You know, up and down and up and down and every up is not as high as the last one.
Right. So that you have a series of
ratchets down.
Lower lows.
Yeah.
Lower lows and lower highs.
Yeah. But lots of movement.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not sure where we go from here with this. I don't know what the thought is, but you know, a lot of players are out there talking about, you know, it used to be buy the dip, now it's sell the rip. So when things go up very nicely, like what happened today? Market was up, 75 basis points, 80 basis points or so at one point today. And then by the end of the day, it came down to zero line or a little bit down. Mm. And, the same thing happened with small caps. NASDAQ was up a little bit today. But again, it was up a lot more. I think the NASDAQ was up like 1.2% today after getting killed yesterday. And it came right back down. Then you see after the close, futures start moving up. And already we have a big red bar the last 10 minutes down. So So the NASDAQ was up like 40 or 45 points after the close, and now it's down 2 points. So we're seeing that too. And it's very indicative of uncertainty, concern, people lightening up. It could be that a lot of leverage is coming out of the markets, right?
Maybe.
So you think this is going to continue?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't until you brought it up.
Sorry for being the bearer of bad news.
You're not going to get invited on CNBC with this type of talk.
I am not. But I'm still of the opinion or thought that unless something very dramatic happens, you know, you still have a decent seasonality towards the end of the year, and it does lend itself towards a buying spree potential towards the end of November into December. But again, you know, if you keep on talking about these tariffs and they talk about, you know, all these negative things that are going on around the world, and you see that, you know, the other day was it Monday? No, maybe it was this weekend, when Macron basically slammed Trump, and then Trump comes back and slams him. Talks about, like, you know, what happened during World War II and all that. It's just not a healthy conversation.
Well, it's been played by the media to be unhealthy. We played large chunks of the conversation. It wasn't as bad as everyone wants to make it out to be. The media's not helping.
The media is not. Media never helps. And the media also doesn't help because the media doesn't like Trump after the, you know, after the whole accosting. That was ridiculous.
It's not as though they liked him before.
No. They didn't like him before at all. And I think they still blame themselves, the media, that is, for getting him elected.
I would say that if I was thinking about it, I was a media guy, I would blame myself, because they're the ones who gave him the $2 billion, as they like to calculate it, $1 or $2 billion of free advertising.
Right.
By constantly putting him on the air and ridiculing him, even though nobody pays attention to the ridicule part because they listen to him because they put him on the air. And he probably makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. And in some situations, he does. And the media guys laugh it off. I mean, the media is responsible for Donald Trump.
Yep. There you go. You heard it here. For good or for bad.
And so now what are they doing about it? Instead of, they're making it worse.
They haven't stopped.
They haven't stopped. They're still giving him free publicity.
Yep. Amazon was in the news this week. Some big news, some very big news.
This to be peculiar. It needs a little discussion.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised myself. So Amazon has chosen two locations for their HQ2 or HQ2 and a two and a half and two and a half, whatever they're calling it. New York City and Arlington, Virginia. In New York City, New York, not New York City, because it's actually going to be Long Island City, which when I was young, we would go from Long Island to Manhattan by car.
But isn't Long Island City in Queens? Yeah. I'm understanding.
Yes, it's right on the other side of the 59th Street Bridge.
Okay.
So it's you could just peer over and see Manhattan right over the bridge. And what's interesting is that when I was a kid, when we'd be going to Manhattan for the weekend to spend, the weekend or a couple nights or a night in, you know, I'd always, pretty much every Saturday night I'd go to Soho, hang out there, go to Chinatown, have a great meal, and then go to Little Italy for dessert. That's what I did. That was my routine.
That's not a bad routine if you're a kid.
It was great. When I say kid, you know, 16. And that's when there was a Little Italy. Now it's just, it's a micro Italy.
Same thing with San Francisco.
Yeah, it's been taken totally over.
We got like China. One deli left. And that's about it.
Yep. So they chose Long Island City. When I would drive through Long Island City, you were kind of the only reason that someone would stop in Long Island City.
If you had a flat tire,
that would be bad.
No muggers around.
Right. That would be bad. But for hookers and for drugs. That's what was in Long Island City. It closed down at night because back then it was all small manufacturing plants.
Right, which are all gone.
Yeah, all gone. And lately, if you go there, it's amazing to see the revitalization, or maybe not revitalization, the vitalization. It never was there. This incredible birth of a mini city in Long Island City, which, again, so close to Manhattan, the prices have gone up dramatically. So they're going to be in Long Island City. Now, here's what's interesting, that New York is paying $48,000 per job and a $325 million cash grant to Amazon to come there. Something like $1.5 billion or something like that is the number that somebody was throwing out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money. Now, they're up in arms now.
I bet.
Oh, in New York, they're like, get out. Let's take this money. Let's repair the subways that are problematic, the streets, the sewers, the manhole covers, the crumbling buildings, the sidewalks, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, schools.
Yeah. Why are we giving Amazon this kind of money? Which, by the way, does seem like a lot of money.
I think if you really look at what Amazon did for Seattle, it revitalized a whole part of town that was a crap hole. But the definition of revitalization is like up for grabs, whether it's good or bad. You have a lot of very fancy new, a lot of stuff that was traditional, cool looking stuff has been torn down and replaced with like Trump-like stuff, structures. And with really no consideration for anything except the fact that all the property values went up and the standard of living is improved and all these things in these areas, which would happen there too, probably spread out a little more. But I, when I heard about this, my son has a friend that works at Amazon. And he says a lot of it's based on a survey they did of the employees. They're trying to get a lot of people. I think they're trying to get the whole company out of Seattle because they have a socialist city council. And they're trying to do a head tax on everybody there. And so they did a survey, and everybody where would you move if you had to work someplace else in Amazon? And they all checked off New York.
Aha. Probably not, but thinking about the incredible taxation of being – well, they don't pay the city tax because they're outside the city. But
a number of things I mentioned. For one thing, and he also told me that when they said put New York on the survey, they didn't say Queens.
Right.
They didn't say Bronx, you know. But just New York in general. Okay, it is New York. And but there's the taxes. And I thought the big problem was the unions. I can't see Amazon.
Yeah.
Setting up shop in New York with the strength of the unions in New York is still paramount. It's one of the biggest, you know, most stable union towns I know of.
But what kind of unions would the Amazonians be a part of? Is that it's usually for the civil work and for
I guess they're doing marketing. I guess there's no union for them
yet.
Yet,
yeah. The unions are going to try to get in there. I don't know. I find it very interesting because if you think about the taxes, the cost of living and all that, it just seems like. So
the city tax only applies to Manhattan?
There may be a county tax.
Apply to all the boroughs.
There's a count. No, there's a state tax, state tax. And I think New York City has a different tax. The boroughs may have a slightly lower tax, but it's a ridiculous amount. An incredible amount of overall taxation, not to mention the cost of goods.
Cost right, of everything's more expensive.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And they're going to say, I mean, essentially the Seattle prices are not, I mean, they're used to the Seattle stuff and they're going to run into like a San Francisco Silicon Valley price structure or worse in New York. And then plus the cost of living, plus the lack of, you know, everything has to be public transportation. It's different.
And what about Arlington, Virginia?
Well, that's just for this to service the CIA.
Oh, that's just to totally have prime pantry for the CIA and for the NSA and all that.
Yeah, because they got their, that'll be almost the Amazon Web Services that'll be in that area, I'm guessing.
Oh, for the government. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's all government work.
Now, do you think there has anything to do with the fact that any politics involved here?
Well, Bezos apparently has built a very big house outside of in the D.C. area because he wants to run his – he's probably going to get more hands-on with his newspaper, the Washington Post. And he's probably going to live there because it's some sort of mansion that's been publicized in Architectural Digest and some other places. And it's I guess it's nice digs. But he'll probably also have a New York
– if he doesn't have one already, I'm sure he has.
Yeah, he probably already has a New York apartment.
I mean, he's not going around on Airbnb, is he?
And so – but I think New York – I think D.C. is where he's going to end up living. And that's just going to be, but it's just for the government and the newspaper, right, as far as I know.
Do you think also there's some tie-in with the newspaper, why they moved the Amazon headquarters to Arlington, which is pretty close to the D.C. Washington Post is in a lot of places, but the core is in Washington.
Yeah.
So maybe it has something to do with that.
I would think it'd have something to do with it.
But I got to tell you something. Again, I keep on coming back to this $48,000 per job. I mean, I don't know how many jobs they're going to have, but if you take 15,000 jobs, which is a lot of jobs,
well, that
will calculate to the $1.5 billion.
For one thing, I think the job number will be closer to 40. I mean, they're employing 75,000 people in Seattle, and they're going to push about 30 of them over out to New York, and there'll be new jobs. So I'm thinking more 40. But does that $48,000 per job have a cap?
I don't know, and I don't know how many.
He says, I'm going to put 100,000 people to work.
Right.
I don't think that's going to work.
I don't. But and how long does that go for? Is it just the first wave of jobs? What if they expand further from there?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know.
And what does the company do with that money? Do they give it to the people? Like, hey, here's a moving allowance and here's a down payment for a house?
They have to do that.
Seems like a pretty sweet deal to me.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
All right, well, talking about...
It's not doing my short of Amazon any good.
No.
So now I think I'm of the opinion that there's a rumor going around that Amazon will do a big split.
What purpose?
Just to jack this price of the stock up even more.
So get through the split. Everybody's like, oh my God, it's so cheap. I'm going to buy it now.
Well, how do splits normally work? Something like that.
Something like that. Oh, it's so cheap. I can afford it. You know, it went from $1,000 a share to, you know, $100 a share. Oh my God, I can get the shares now. I'm going to buy myself, you know, 10 shares when you could have bought one share before. Well, what's good of one share? Same numbers. The numbers are all the same.
People don't understand the simplicity of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Michigan, they're going to understand even less because they're going to be stoned out of their minds. We saw that voters passed the Proposition 18-1 into law, making Michigan the 10th state to legalize marijuana. So now people can carry up to 2.5 ounces or up to 10 ounces in a private resident. That's a lot of pot. 10 ounces.
Well, 10 ounces of today's pot...
Yeah, that's a whole different level.
Yeah, 10 ounces of today's pot's a lifetime supply as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, not like the old stuff with all the seeds in it and junk.
Seeds and stems.
Yes, exactly. Hey, speaking about those times, did you happen to go see the Bohemian Rhapsody Queen movie?
No.
I thought it was great.
Oh, good.
I know there was some...
I was never a fan of the band, so it's my likelihood to go see the movie is nil.
I loved them. Obviously, there was some artistic, there was some corners cut and some things to make look like something else and a little more drama put into it from what I read after the fact. But I thought the movie was great. So anyway, social media comeuppance. That's the theme today, the comeuppances.
Yeah.
I haven't used that word, I don't think, ever in a writing piece. Have you ever?
Oh, you just did.
I did twice. Comeuppance. Yelp. Cratered as much as 32% last Friday after releasing third quarter earnings that showed that advertisers are abandoning the site and revenue is getting cut pretty dramatically.
I wonder what's going on. I still use Yelp as a reference.
But don't you have to use it with a very keen eye to what the BS is?
Yeah.
So who wants to do that?
What else do you have? What's your other choice?
I guess nothing really. But.
Unless you have a professional review or some guy really that you like and you trust and he knows what he's doing, unless he can't review everything in the world, he can only review a few things. Unless you have that as an alternative, you have nothing. There's nothing to compete with Yelp. I mean, Travel Advisor and these other things they're really mediocre. Or Google.
Let me take you back a little bit. Let me take you back. Oh, I don't know. 15 years. What did you do then? You went to a restaurant. You saw how it was. If you didn't like it, you go back. If you didn't, you wouldn't go back.
I always research my restaurants before going to them.
Well, how would you have done it then?
I go with word of mouth. You hear stuff. There's usually a lot of newspaper reviewers. There used to be 5 newspapers in the area. Now there's one with one reviewer.
And the one reviewer is average at best, right?
Average at best, yes.
Right.
We had a guy here once for a while that would just give every restaurant a 3-star no matter what it was.
Oh.
And so he'd just talk about it. You had to, and in the olden days, probably you have to do a little bit of this with Yelp, but it was done purposefully in the olden days with reviews by professional reviewers in circumstances. This would, I would apply, for example, to audio magazines, stereo magazines, those car magazines. They all loved everything, but they couldn't say that because these advertisers were also involved advertising the same thing. Mm-hmm. So you had to read between the lines. Where the guy would use a certain word, a code word, meaning don't buy this car.
Oh. But with Yelp, I've used it also for their maps and to see what restaurants are there. I've used it for their, definitely for the restaurant reviews. I've seen them. I'm kind of like, okay, let me see. I basically go to see if anybody has a horrible review of it. If there's no horrible reviews, I'm okay.
But, well, I don't trust the horrible reviews in a sea of good reviews. In fact, I remember reading one woman who wrote on Yelp. This is for the French Laundry, a well-known, respected, high-end, four-star. Everybody thinks is the best, one of the best restaurants in the country, at least in the top five. And she gives it one star because it doesn't have a vegan menu.
Well, there you go. Or it was an off night, too. That can happen.
No, it was a vegan menu.
All right. Well, that one is a problem. But I'm saying somebody can have an off night and give it a bad review. But
That happens.
But I guess what's happening is that there is a thought that this social media, because Yelp is social media, that social media and Yelp is one that has been infected by a lot of either bots or fakies or, you know, something false. And why would I want to put my money into that? Why would I want to put my money there, even though they're getting page views? And then we've come back to you and I've talked about, well, what are the page views really, you know, what are the advertisers really getting when they pay for it? And who's clicking on those ads anyway? Because I don't know.
Well, many of the ads are native ads. They're not really clicking on anything. They're just seeing a restaurant given a higher rating or a higher notice, or they. One of the things they like to sell is, we'll take all your bad reviews and push them to the bottom. If you ever notice this, most of the reviews on Yelp aren't chronological.
So once again, this is causing people to abandon the use of this because they're not trustworthy. Social media has done this to themselves. Here is their comeuppance.
Well, in the case of this stock, I'd say yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see what's happening to Facebook at 142?
Yeah, Facebook.
Snap is snipped. Twitter is looking horrible. I mean, social media is, you know, I'm not saying they're all going the way of MySpace at this point, but I got to tell you, Instagram and all that, everybody's using a lot of those emojis, and it's starting to look a little bit like MySpace out there.
LiveJournal.
Yeah. And what happened to that other one? There was another one there was another mini blog out there for a while. Remember that?
It was LiveJournal. There was POW. I think it was called POW. LiveJournal, of course, was the progenitor of MySpace, which led to Facebook. And then there was that crazy one Google tried to start.
Blogger?
No, not Blogger. They bought that from a guy. No, it was the one that ended up being very popular in Brazil. It was some crazy name. Somebody in the chat room has to know this.
Vuvuzela.
It was the... it was the pre Google Plus social media network they had that was kind of more like Friendster than it was like anything else.
Brazil, Google. Let's see what that says. Brazil, Google, Brazil. No, Brazil latest Google, Brazil. No, social media.
So here I tell you the search criteria. I'll bet you get it.
Orkut.
Yeah, Orkut.
Yeah.
Orkut.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
13 years ago, started social network. Well, here's the guy that started. He was working as Google as an engineer. He's the guy.
Yeah, he started it, became super popular in certain parts of the world, Brazil being one of them for reasons that are sociological, mainly in Brazil. Just happened to have the right qualities that they like. Never caught on here, but it was doing very well, I thought. But again, as another Google example of, this is kind of the opposite of what everybody else does. Google has something that's has to be doing well, but they pulled a plug on it because they just got tired of supporting it. They just pulled a plug on
stuff. That's what's always bothered me, by the way, of having cloud-based products. You wonder if they could update when you don't want them to update something. What if I change around? I just want to keep it. I just, you know, I don't feel like paying for it, and I bought the program.
No, I'm 100% on your side.
It's very nerve-wracking.
Yeah, you don't know. You can't trust anybody.
Right. I went to Salesforce a number of years ago for my CRM, and I'm always like, oh, man, what if they change? Which they are. They're changing something right now, and I just hired a developer to go through doing an upgrade to a different version of it to make sure that I have this particular area, because they're going to discontinue it in a year.
Why?
It's actually clumsy, and I don't like using this particular thing, so I don't use it. But it's the notes and attachments feature in Salesforce. So like, you could do notes in a lot of areas. I do them in the actual meeting record, make notes on what's going on. There's an area for notes. You want to just pop a note in there, but it just doesn't have a lot of. There's nothing to it. It's just a title space and a area to put in the note. But if you want to dig that out, if you have a lot of notes, like, you got to click through all of them and look through them. It's like, it's stupid. There's no way to see it very easily. So there's a new thing called notes, enhanced notes and attachments, which is a much better interface. It just works a lot better. It's a whole bunch of things. You could put things in it and attachments on it and, you know, just record a lot of stuff, and it's much better. So anyway. Let's continue on. I don't know. You want to talk about the strip clubs? You want to talk about Steve Wynn? You want to talk about Jewel? All the above.
I think it's interesting how Steve Wynn got run out of town.
He got run out of town, but he did great.
Well, he always does great.
He did great. So Steve Wynn sold his entire stake in the Wynn Company after, you know, oh my God, a casino magnate who has been in the business for 50 years.
Yeah.
Inappropriately.
And he likes to, and he apparently pinches the waitress's butts.
Yeah. And that's it. Done. Me too. Out. So the company with his namesake on it is basically kicked him out. He said, okay, I'm selling. He realized that if he's not there, things are going to go to hell in a handbasket.
You know, that wasn't going to be the name of the place originally.
What was it going to be? His wife something, right? Didn't his wife something want some name?
No, my understanding from his brother was that it was originally going to be called Beau Rivage, but that naming convention was too French. I think they used it on some other property.
Yeah, there is a casino there.
There's some other Beau Rivage someplace else.
That's in Mississippi.
Yeah, they opened that, but they were going to use that. But then it was right after the 9/11 thing with the French fries, and we all hated France.
Oh, yeah, the French. Yeah, they wouldn't let us fly over.
So they didn't know what to do, so they changed it to, well, what are we going to do? Let's just call it Wynn. It's a great name.
We're going to call it American Fries for like 2 months.
Yeah, it was dumb.
No French toast, no French fries. Oh, God, no French kissing. Terrible. But he sold his entire stake for the company, 12.1 million shares in March for about $2.1 billion, or about $177 per share. It's currently down about 40% from there. And he sold it to mutual fund companies who just lapped it all up. Ah, we'll take it off your hands.
Yeah, it's funny. T. Rowe Price.
Yep. Under Armour says it's committed to providing a respectful and inclusive workspace. After the Wall Street Journal reported that the athletic apparel company had stopped letting employees expense strip club visits.
How could you get away with expensing a strip club
visit? What do you mean? I don't really find a problem with this, by the way.
I find it. Yeah, I do.
Why? Where's the problem? Where's the problem with this?
Well, are they expensing shoving the dollar bills in the girl's garter belt?
All right, that's a little bit edgy there. I'll give you that. But the you go to a place, and I guess they're enjoying an evening.
Some strip clubs. I noticed there one used to be in San Francisco, and I know there's other ones that do this. In areas that really don't support strip clubs like San Francisco, which used to, but they don't. They have pretty good lunch there.
Yeah, they have good buffets. I go for the buffet.
Yeah, the buffet.
I read Penthouse for the articles.
Yeah, exactly.
So what the problem I have with this is that they take the athletes out. Where is this going to go? Let's go to the end conclusion of all of this. You can't go to a restaurant that has female servers because it's degrading that a woman's going to serve you food. I mean, it's gotten out of hand.
Well, that what you just mentioned there is a creation of your irksome own mind.
It's my logical conclusion process that I'm talking about.
Yeah, which is tricky.
But it just seems to me that I agree that it's definitely edgy. And I agree that if somebody has a credit card or they're taking out a bunch of people, they're going to a strip club and all that for drinks and whatever they're doing there in terms of, I'm not saying anything freaky. I'm just saying going there for the entertainment of it.
Yeah.
I mean, are you not going to be able to possibly take out a bunch of people to an R-rated film where there's some nudity? I'm just saying.
Why would you take people to a film on an expense account?
You don't want to talk to them. You just want them to, I don't know. I'm just making some stuff up here. Go with
me.
Do
you have an expense account issue here with this whole thing and you believe that all these strip clubs, because Florida is crawling with strip clubs.
Never been to one. Kidding. I go for the research. But the point is that...
Well, you had me stymied.
But I'm saying is that where does this all end? It just seems to be... Is this... The idea of this to, you know, out... The, I mean, there's... I don't know. Could they...
Should
they
you're not, starting to sound like the get off my lawn guy.
I am. Get off my freaking lawn, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. I don't know. Something about it just doesn't sit right. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I can tell.
Juul Labs, you know, the maker of that that vaping device, that weird-looking gum stick kind of device, the e-cigarettes, very popular, has 75% of the market. Said it stopped selling its fruit-flavored nicotine pods to stores and shut down its U.S.-based Facebook and Instagram accounts. And they did this on Tuesday, today.
Huh.
So this follows a campaign from the Food and Drug Administration to curtail underage use of e-cigarettes. Because I guess the underage people that are smoking this prefer to have the strawberry mocha flavor or whatever it is.
Well, actually, they prefer to have the THC flavor.
Well, that what they really prefer. But... So they're shutting it down, and they said that it's going to cost the company about 45% in sales.
Hmm.
They're only going to have the good kind of stuff, straight nicotine and menthol. So none of this fruity nicotine stuff. Why can't they make the fruity flavor without the nicotine?
They do.
So, but they're taking the, but I guess people don't buy them.
No, I think a lot of kids do.
Well.
They also buy the nicotine.
It's going to cost the company 45% of their sales. That's pretty significant. This is a company that was recently valued at $15 billion.
No, not anymore.
Yeah. I talked about Apple earlier, so we'll kind of pass through that. Let's see. Pot stocks are getting kind of clobbered there. Tilray came out with their earnings tonight. It was down 4%. We'll have a new Close to the Pin shortly coming up. We have the special donation segment right now, which we should have some really nice, some mellow and kind of meditative music going on in the background to talk about this. But basically, I see it as a duty to the listeners to donate to the show to keep us happy. We promise, by the way, John and I have also decided that any of the donations that you send in, we will not be using for any illicit purposes, strip clubs.
Without going to strip clubs.
Yeah, we're not doing any of that anymore. We've decided to take the Under Armour approach to all this. So it's just all in the up and up. If we do decide to go out, Denny's, that's it. Denny's. It's the only place we're going to go out to. No drinks, no nothing, just waffles and biscuits. So if you want to donate, you can go over to dhunplug.com, donate to the show. Any amount is really helpful for all sorts of reasons. If, in fact, you want to get a shirt before the year is done, because we're going to stop doing this at the end of the year, you can simply... go over to the donations, pay the price of the show, $431, and we'll autograph it, sign it, send it. You'll get whatever holiday is approaching. You'll get a beautiful envelope drawing courtesy of John's daughter. Your daughter, right?
Yeah, Jay.
Jay's going to do it. So what's coming up? You'll get a turkey on it, maybe.
We got turkeys. We got then Christmas, and then we're done. There's nothing else.
Yep, exactly. All right, quickly going through a few things. Let me see where we are in time. We are, we're running out of time. I have a couple of things I want to talk about here. Let's think. All right, a couple of things really quickly. Did you see this piece about the firefighters in Mendocino, there's firefighters that are battling fires in California, generally.
Yeah, in Butte County and down south.
Of them, there's 2,000 inmates. Inmates are getting paid $2 a day to be on the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation Volunteer Fire Department program.
Slave labor.
And they're getting $1 an hour when fighting active fires. Yeah. They also earn time off on their sentences. Is that something weird about that?
Well, I didn't even know about it. I know this was something that was going on, but the time off on their sentences is probably worth, if you put a value on that, it's probably worth a lot.
Yeah.
So the dollars per day. I don't know. It's a good experience. I can get a job in a fire department. Maybe. I don't know.
Assuming that fire departments are big felons.
Felons.
Right?
I like to... Bill Godbout, one of the early pioneers of the computer industry, died in that fire.
Oh, that's awful.
And thought it meant he CompuPro was the computer he made, and he's famous for selling all kinds of crazy things.
Sorry to hear that. And finally, I want to mention the scooter invasion. Are you invaded by scooters?
Not in my town, no.
Oh, but you've seen these things.
Oh, yeah. They're all over the place. Especially San Francisco's got a plague of them. There's Seattle has a plague of them. Oakland's getting a bad problem.
Yeah, we need like a bird flu or something to get rid of this stuff. We have this lime. We have these birds. We have all these scooters. Tons of injuries are being reported. Cost $1 to unlock, 15 cents a minute to ride. Then the other job you get out of it, I think the model is kind of interesting. You have someone that will pick them up, take them to their house, and charge them, and you get paid for doing that. You're like the juicer.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
And a company,
a company named Xiaomi out of China, which makes that really cool phone and a variety of other devices. They make like a little camera that's like the GoPro Heroes for like, I don't know, a tenth of the cost or something.
Yeah, they're not that good.
No, you could trade it. You could look at that as symbol XIACY, which is the ADR, which doesn't have a lot of volume. It looks like crap on a chart, but there you go. And finally,
probably for good reason.
If you were to be writing for some magazine, we're not going to, you know what? I'm not going to say the name of the magazine that basically puts you out in your keister. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention
that. If I had a weekly column for a magazine, what would I be writing?
What would you
about?
Be writing?
I actually would be writing about the Stan Lee.
Oh.
We had Stan Lee at the Tech TV, ZDTV studios when he was in the 90s, probably around 97, I'm guessing.
Wow.
And he was on the Big Thinker show, maybe 98. And there was a bunch of these guys that came through. Stan Lee was one of them, and I had the opportunity to meet him. And I don't know what I was thinking, but I'm sorry he died. He was 95, so he led a very good life. But if I had my head on straight at the time, someone talks about investments, I would have dragged over a bunch of comic books I'd picked up at a comic book store and had him sign them off.
Yep, and you'd be collecting sign big right now.
10 of them, 15 of them. $1,000 a pop I think I could get for him now. Mm-hmm. So
got to think ahead.
I'm not thinking clearly in some of these situations with these people that are actually famous.
Yeah. Only hits in the back.
Technically
like, oh,
famous.
That was so obvious. You know, those kind of things. It happens all the time with investing.
It was so obvious after the fact. And this was before the boom in these movies. I mean, now you wouldn't even think twice about it. But back then, you'd rather have a conversation with him. He's kind of a wacky guy, by the way. Right. Or was. He apparently made a bunch of... he filmed a bunch of spots for future movies that he would have been a cameoed in.
Huh.
He pre-filmed a bunch of them. And I guess in them, he's got a lot of hints about people he hates.
Well, really?
Yeah, a lot of grudge clips.
So now we got to find them in the upcoming films that are out there. It's kind of like Stanley Easter egg.
You'll have still Stan Lee will be in the next dozen movies or more.
Huh. Funny. I like it.
I thought that was very
smart.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at these stocks. This is a game that we play. It's not anything more than that. It is simply some ideas that we generate each and every week to kind of go against each other and see how we can do and come up with a thesis, come up with an idea, track it over on DH Unplugged. You can see it live tracking all of these. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. It's not anything more than a simple discussion. So if you decide for whatever reason that you want to invest, do it at your own peril because it can be risky business. Make sure you seek financial advice from a professional. John C. Dvorak, Horowitz & Company and clients, or Andrew Horowitz, me, may own any of these, and we will note those in the disclosures.
Yeah, and you'll notice the stocks, a lot of them got bounced, including the Apple long, which closed me out at 12.76% after it bounced back, came down. Boots Alliance, still number one on the list, WBA. And then we got to my gut I don't know. How did Snap get killed?
It went down. It was like sub. I mean, it went down. Went up, then came back down. That's the problem with those 10 percenters on those low price stocks.
I should have probably stretched that. I may put that back on. Salesforce has been kicked off. It was the short came. I did broke even pretty much. But Amazon and Netflix, I both lost my butts on both of those, or my butt. I only have one. And which are the riskiest stocks in Amazon in particular? Look at that thing. It's at $1,700.
So that's when, yeah, it was, I think it was a 16 and change today, but that's where it closed when you got stopped out.
When I got killed, yeah. So those are out. You have the Tempur Sealy, which I think was a good, that was already up 4.8%. Very good pick. My Tesla short is up, which is a plus. And I have.
You forgot to mention MBIA and US Natural Gas.
Yeah, MBIA is up. That's your muni bond short. Yes, and it's way up. And the natural gas is catching up to my Walgreens. Might pass me up.
Pretty unbelievable for natural gas. So,
yeah, the natural gas. I don't know how you picked that. That was just
dumb luck.
Boom.
Yep. I'm going to put crude oil on there. A 3x ETF symbol UWT with a 15% stock, hoping that there is a snapback going to happen when we see the inventory numbers this week that maybe it's just totally oversold. And that's a 3x. So it's down 19% today with a 7% drop or so. I'm going to add JD.com, hoping once again that there is some kind of even a murmur, a hope, just a glimmer of something that will happen with China. And this is the Amazon of China. And I'm hoping that will come back. It's down like 45% from its high. Good company.
I'm going to put on, and this is only an insider's because of some insider deals that went on. A lot of people buying, actually mostly Continental Grain companies buying. So they must know something. $40 million worth of insiders buying. Bungie. Yeah.
Bungie.
Looks like Bunge to me.
It does. It looks like Bunge.
But it's a farm products company.
Was it BBG?
BG, just BG. Yeah. And they took a beating with a dagger sometime when we saw that. If you look at the chart, it's like down and hit a bottom and it's stuck down at the bottom. And it's been kind of sitting down there. It doesn't look like it can go any lower. So this may not be a bad long-term investment.
All right. Insiders, JCD pick, color it. And I think we're good. We'll have those up. Again, you can track these over on DH Unplugged. Just click on the weekly stock picks button. Do that right after you click on the donations button.
Yes, absolutely.
That will be a smart thing to do. And then you'll revisit Snap and see what you want to do with that eventually.
Yeah, Snap. Mm-hmm. All right.
I will talk to you next week.
Okay, talk to you on Tuesday. Right,
bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.